today on Real Radio.
Bible prophecy. She, are you kidding me? I kind of poked around in there and heard about a dragon rising up out of the sea with seven heads and all this stuff. And I closed it. You shouldn't have closed it. You would have found out how that dragon gets slain. Because you closed your Bible, it's still running around in your head. You should have seen how it ended.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Cure for Hypocrisy, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah was the 8th century BC Jewish prophet for whom the book of Isaiah is named. His prophetic book is really unmatched in scope and covers common prophetic themes of coming judgment, as well as Israel's future restoration. But you know, Isaiah really focuses a lot of time and attention on the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now in Isaiah chapter 29, we'll continue to see how hypocrisy can be a deceitful show of good character, especially when it comes to morals and Christianity. But basically, it's to know what's the right thing to do and to not do it. God hates hypocrisy, and really, we need to hate it too. The cure is found only in the truth of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit to discern what the truth really is. False doctrine is running rampant in the church today, while false prophets only tell us really what we want to hear. That's why we need to fight hypocrisy with our Bibles open. Our lives depend upon it. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we're living in the days of deception. The doctrines we hold on to are the teachings that shape our belief systems. And it's our belief system, really, that dictates our lifestyle. And it's our lifestyle that reveals what we truly put our faith in. And now continuing in his lesson called The Cure for Hypocrisy, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God says in Romans chapter 1 that he's already given that guy running around in the jungle the answer. Did you know that? It says that God has spoken to him through creation so that that guy has no excuse to reject God. In other words, the truth is presented. Listen, you can be in the jungle running around right now with more light in your heart and your head than some guy sitting at the top of a Manhattan high-rise with all the education in the universe. You can be as blind as a bat with all these PhDs behind your name. So watch out. Listen, I want to put this quote up here on the board, on the wall, and then talk about this thing about knowing and not knowing by will. Dr. Harry Ironside, whatever you can buy from him, read it. I'm not joking. How many of our so-called Christian scholars and prominent, love this next word, pulpiteers, declare that it is useless to attempt to study the book of Revelation, or you could say prophecy for that matter, as it is sealed, or else a mere collection of weird dreams without meaning, coherence, while others take the, next slide, ground that it is only the learned who can understand it, and therefore simple Christians could not expect to unravel its mysteries. The book of Revelation, for example. God gives it, and he specifically puts it at the back of his Bible. There's a reason why the book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible, for a lot of reasons. But why would someone shy away, Dr. Ironside is saying, from Bible prophecy? Well, number one, it's right in front of them. Book of Isaiah is a book of prophecy. It's right in front of them, as the book of Revelation is. I'm not going to read it. How many Christians today don't read their Old Testament? Well, you can't understand it. Isaiah talked about you. Oh! It's sealed. Who can get it? And then, well, I can't read. Well, you want to hear about it? Not really. Really not interested. I've had people literally over the years say, oh, pastor, you're going to be talking on Bible prophecy for the next few weeks? Yeah. Oh. No, seriously. Listen, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you right now. Oh, you know, I'm going to come back after you're done with that series. Really? That's interesting. God didn't give us Bible prophecy to freak us out. He didn't give us Bible prophecy to cause us to scratch our head or have a heart attack trying to figure it out. Did you know that Bible prophecy is given to us that we might look into the future? God is sharing it with us for our comfort. She said, yeah, are you kidding me? I kind of poked around in there and heard about a dragon rising up out of the sea with seven heads and all this stuff. And I closed it. You shouldn't have closed it. You would have found out how that dragon gets slain. Because you closed your Bible, it's still running around in your head. You should have seen how it ended. Are you with me? Don't close the book. Listen, God says to Daniel in his great revelation of prophecies, God tells Daniel nearly 3,000 years ago, Daniel, the prophecies I've given you, seal it up. The time's not now. You're going to die and you're going to be gathered to your fathers in eternity. God said it. Daniel, all the stuff I told you ain't going to happen until you're long gone. Seal it up, he said. Then you come to the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 in the book of Revelation announces, blessed are all those who read this book and hear it read. I can't read. Yeah, you can. Read it. Okay. The Bible says you'll be blessed for reading it. Well, I can't read. Oh, then sit and listen to it. Book of Revelation says, and you'll be blessed for hearing it. He wants you to know it. And then I'll just throw this in just to make you really upset. Everybody knows this. They just don't want to say it. The book of Revelation has more Old Testament references than any other book of the Bible. If you're Jewish tonight and you're told you cannot read the New Testament, your rabbi tells you, you can't read the New Testament. You're forbidden. If a Jew was to read Genesis to Malachi and trip and stumble and land on Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, and keep reading, he would think he's reading an Old Testament book. Everything that's in the Old Testament in question mark is answered in the book of Revelation. The tree of life begins in Genesis, and you don't find it again until you go to the book of Revelation. The seven lampstand is in Genesis and the Old Testament, Exodus, Leviticus. You don't find it again with God until Revelation. The whole thing is like that. So I don't get it. I don't understand the book of Revelation. I don't understand Daniel. I don't get Isaiah. It's because you're not reading your Bible. One book of the Bible reveals light to the other book of the Bible. It's absolutely awesome. And so, God's word prevents deception. God's word keeps the light shining. Go ahead and put Revelation 1 up, guys. I was trying to hurry up, but this is just too good here. Look at this, everybody. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must shortly, the word's quickly. See, they wrote that 2,000 years ago, not shortly. The word is once it starts, it's going to go fast. He sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed, verse 3, blessed is he who, number one, reads, and number two, those who hear the words of this prophecy. And, I guess thirdly, right, would keep those things which are written in it, because the time is near. Wow. So, how near? Well, once the things begin, it's going to go fast. God's word. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, 7. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, or behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man or no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and here's the punchline. This is the kind of Christian you want to be, kind of church you want to go to. You have kept my word, and you've not denied my name. That's the kind of church you want to go to. They keep his word, and they do not deny his name. Look at verses 13 to 16. The cure for hypocrisy is the fact that God will watch over his people. Verse 13, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. And then he goes on to speak about the destructions and of their counsel. Bottom line is this. You know the New Testament. You recognize that verse from the New Testament. Jesus spoke about that regarding his ministry. That these people, those who are hypocrites, they talk up God. They announce that they're believers. God says, I know who they are. Their lips are announcing one thing, but their hearts are way far from me. And you've got to stop, all of us have got to stop and ask, God, examine me in this. He said, Jack, how do I do that? It's just simply getting back to how we opened up. What do we know to do, and what are we doing? You see? Do I know something that God would have me to do or not do? Then I have to stop and look, am I doing or not doing that in accordance with his will? It's very critical. Verse 16 reminds me of the book of Romans here now, verse 16. Surely you have things turned around, he says. You're all messed up with your thinking. That God, in verse 15, the hypocrite says, who sees us? God doesn't see us. God doesn't know what we're doing. Verse 16, he says, you've got it all messed up. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say to him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, he has no understanding? Everybody, look at that verse. What does it remind you of? Does the clay talk to the potter and say, what are you doing? The guy that's on the shaping the clay on the potter's wheel, does he set the thing off to the side and it says to him, why did you make me an ashtray? I wanted to be a vase. You know, the potter could just go, a talking ashtray? That's weird. And put it back on the wheel and reshape it, right? The answer is, no, the clay doesn't talk to the potter. The thing formed does not tell the thing that formed it, why am I this way? And yet, we live in a world right now, and young people today are having to deal with this constantly. The intelligentsia, a friend of mine used to say, people who are impressed with their education, that they've been educated beyond their intelligence. I used to believe in God, but then I went to college. And I now know. Oh, really? You've been educated beyond your intelligence. It means this. Shall the clay say to the potter who formed it, you have no understanding. You don't know what you're doing. Ask me, and I'll tell you how to run the universe. Christopher Hitchens was famous for that. Richard Dawkins is famous for this. George Soros said, I don't believe in God. And if there was a God, I would be that God. George Soros. You know who he is, George Soros? Can you imagine? Shirley MacLaine. How many remember Shirley MacLaine? 20 of us. Shirley MacLaine was a new age. She's a movie actress, Warren Beatty's sister. Who's ever heard of Warren Beatty anyway? Well, I'm Jill. Anyway, I better shut up and finish this. She used to be a famous person, and she was in the big new age movement, prophetess, right? And there's a clip, I think it's on YouTube, it's ancient, but she was standing in Malibu in the waves and the beauty and of the moment. Her course, you would sign up, you have to pay her, I don't know, a couple thousand bucks to learn this, but you would stand on the shore and she would say, "Now this is what you do. You have to project it, but you say, I am God. Say it again with me, I am God." And everything and anything gets to be God except God. You're a God, they're a God, she's a God, he's a God, it's a God. Jesus, what do you think of Jesus? He's not God. Have you noticed that? False doctrine. Be very careful to know his word. Father, tonight we would ask of you, Lord, that you'd search our hearts. It is true that no one has the corner market on truth who dwells on this earth. But we all have access to it. You are truth. You have given us your word. And tonight it all comes down to, do we believe it or not? And we pray tonight, I pray tonight, that we would be washed clean tonight. There may be those here this evening that have, unfortunately, over years perhaps, have been told, nope, you can't read that book and you can't believe that. We've sealed that portion. Maybe are those who are here tonight that they've just chosen not to read, not to know. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would begin in all of our lives, Lord, that you just begin to peel away. Just peel away, Lord, the things that might have attached to us that causes us to view things wrong. We've been deceived. It could be about our kids. It could be about our spouses. It could be about tithing or loving. It could be about the culture. It could be about voting. It could be about eating. Where somehow in some area we have made a conclusion, we've come to a place where we've sunk our heels in, that this is the way it is for our logic. And if anything in our lives, Lord, that we fly in the face of your truth, we find ourselves tonight maybe resisting by pressure, cultural pressure, trends, fear to either endorse or condone a certain lifestyle or action or language, or to somehow say, well, everyone's doing it. All of a sudden, this hypocrisy gets real close to home. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would cause us tonight to divorce ourselves from self-justification. If for some reason in our lives, we always have to land, as it were, on our feet in the argument, we always have got to get the last word in or the last dig. Or if we can never say we're sorry because of pride, strip us, Lord, of this deception. Humble our hearts, and we know that there's a great correlation between a humble heart and listening ears. Friend, tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, You should become one. Not to join a church, not to get a membership card, not to be on the team. None of that junk. But to know the God who made you, the potter who formed you. Up until now, you have thought yourself to be so either great or worthless from one extreme to the other. You've missed God's purpose for your life. The person you are is the person he wants to transform. He wants to use everything that's ever gone on in your life. Now he'll convert that mess into an amazing ministry. And you can go forth tonight, brand new. Right where you're at, by answering this between you and God. Out of your voice, out of your heart, you would say, Jesus, I receive your forgiveness that you extend to me because you died on the cross for my sins. I ask you to wash me clean and to make me a new person tonight. I'm asking you to save my life, to put right thinking in me, your word, true doctrine, and your Holy Spirit. New life. Tonight, my friend, you would say to Jesus, my life is now yours. Help me. And from this moment on, determine in your heart now, in your head, in your very person, I'm going to follow Jesus. Don't worry. He'll take care of all your inadequacies, your fears. He'll take care of your inability. He will do it if you're yielded to him. That's why he died, and that's why he rose again. And for all of us who know what that's like, all of God's people said, Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Cure for Hypocrisy, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. And just like Pastor Jack says, we have access to the truth, but do we really believe it? The Cure for Hypocrisy Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a collection of videos called Real Life Basics right there at his website? These short but powerful videos are designed to help define the basic principles of Christianity, and they're stepping stones toward a deeper walk with Christ. Some of the titles include What is a Christian? How to Grow in Christ? The Real Life Basics on the Holy Spirit? Prayer? And What's the Best Way to Study the Bible? So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on that tab that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And then click on Real Life Basics. And if you've downloaded the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app onto your mobile device, you'll find it right there on the Home tab under Resources. Again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.